Lucy, I'm home.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I am your host, Erica.
And I'm Ziva.
And today's episode we are recapping is Pioneer Women, which is episode 25 of season one. Aired March 31st, 1952, directed by Mark Daniels, Jess Oppenheimer, written by Jess Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh, and Bob Carroll Jr. Filmed February 22nd, 1952. The synopsis here, ridiculous synopsis.
They're all ridiculous. That's what makes it the show. Is there any episode where like, makes wow, sense. This is a really intriguing synopsis, guys. Really well thought out, sophisticated. No, go ahead.
The synopsis, the boys. I like that they're all like reduced to boys.
The boys,
not even the girls. Men, the no, boys. The husbands, but the wives, that they can survive without using anything invented after 1900, including electricity, all while Lucy and Ethel are pursuing membership in a snooty, I like that word, snooty. Women's club. The synopsis I love, because at the end says, and there's also a huge loaf of bread.
Which I can't wait to talk about, but
this is the infamous loaf of bread episode, and we'll get to it. But yeah, it's one of those, you know, staple ones that you remember when you think of Lucy, like Vitavita Benjamin, the chocolate factory. I just had a Willy Wonka thing go in my head, and this, the loaf of bread.
Yes. Okay. So before we get into the actual episode, this is a fun fact for before the episode, I guess the day that the episode first aired, Life magazine cover image was from Lil Abner. Have you ever read that?
I have not. No. No.
I have a little bit, but it ran for 43 years, from August 13th, 1934 through November 13th, 1977. Yeah. The characters Abner, Daisy May, and then there's other ones, but the important thing is that the last celebrity guest star of the last episode of the Lucy Desi Comedy Hour, which guess what, guys, I own.
Oh yes, turns out you this is so random.
We got an email and they were like, oh yeah, we just put, what was her name, I Love Lucy box set, mm-hmm. and it's at the very end of it. And I went, what do you mean? I read it and that's what I said in my head. That's
our listener, Ashley.
Ashley, there we go.
She reminded you that they were attached at the end of it.
And I went, look what I've had for years.
Yeah.
Anyways.
You know what's funny though, that I've heard you say that you don't have it and where to find it. And it never dawned on me, because I haven't gotten to the end of that yet, that it's there, because I have it too. I think we all have it.
Sometimes I'll just watch it on Hulu or other places, and so then it doesn't occur to me.
Fun fact, just in case people don't know, because it's such, you know, exciting when they do this, Paramount Plus now has all of the episodes, where it was just Hulu had random ones, you know, that sporadic for some reason. But Paramount Plus, it's a streaming service with a monthly subscription, or every episode's there.
Another one.
Yes. We're not sponsored, but we should be. Go on.
Yeah, there we go. Can we reach out to them? Be like, hey.
I'm sorry. Okay, anyways, go on.
Okay, the episode. The last celebrity guest star of the last episode of the Lucy Desi Comedy Hour was Eddie Adams, who won a Tony Award for playing Daisy Mays. In 1968, she appeared on the episode of The Lucy Show, Mooney's Other Wife. Yeah. It all just intertwines. I mean, it makes sense because it's the time, right? They shot it in their time, but it was still kind of cool. And then this is kind of fun, but this was reported to be one of William Frawley's favorite episodes.
I can totally understand why. I mean, looking at the man, he looks like he's before the 1900s.
Well, he was born in 1887.
Right. By the way, you can find one of our, I think it's episode either 3 or 4. It's a biography on William Frawley and Vivian Vance.
You calling back all our old stuff. This cool is marketing. Me calling back the Ivy Plates. The very first opening. Did you see it?
Where
you
like, wrote it down. Was gonna say something. And now every time I see the Ivy Plate set, by the way, I got a text from one of my relatives who told me they have that set. So it's
fun. Just very cool. Rub that in. That's cool.
So we open up with the very close up shot of the Ivy Plate set. That's infamous, which you also see in the movie that we mentioned that we reviewed, Was it the Forever Darling or Long Way Trailer?
It's Forever Darling.
Forever
it
Darling.
Wasn't in Long Way Trailer.
Yeah.
But they're panned in on the
leaves,
the dishes, because they want to put across that point that they're doing dishes. If I was the only one in the house doing dishes, we would have paper plates.
That's a good point. And you know, you don't realize, I don't want to say lucky, but yeah,
it's lucky.
No, I'm saying lucky when you have a partner that does do them with you.
Oh, and, gosh, yeah.
And because my husband does do dishes just naturally. And so you don't realize when you watch something like this, it's expected of just women. Back then, especially, then, you know, men wouldn't dare touch dishwater, you know.
Dishwater.
So, yeah, so she's doing a lot of dishes because, you know, she's not only does she make the meals, probably bought the groceries, made the meal, served.
Well, and the men think if they make the money, that covers everything. So
yeah,
that's all that is to life. So
to show for another day.
Yeah. When we moved into our house, we didn't have a dishwasher. And I was like, oh, it's good. It'll be fine. It's fine. And it was very clear very early on that it was not fine. I was like, we need a dishwasher.
Is we'll get to it because eventually they'll start talking about dishwasher. I'll get to it later. So
okay.
So Ethel comes in and she's nervous. She's real nervous. She's real like jittery about this whole women's club that we mentioned.
Oh yeah, because they were told that they're going to be looked over. You know, so they passed the first inspection, right? First rounds. I don't know if they send in an application or something. I don't know. They passed that first part, and so now they have to meet them basically.
Yeah,
they're going to come into the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love when Ethel says, you know, if they kiss their hand, they're going to get dishpan.
And they
lips.
Start doing the mocking of the accents and
yes,
what high society women sound like, and they look at their nails and see that they have a. You know, kind of maybe not made up nails. And what I like is we skipped over, you know, she gets frustrated. Lucy does. Well, I guess we didn't skip over that. The reason her nails are like that is because of all the dishes she does, which is 20 dishes a meal. Now, let me just stop there because that's two people. Fred and Ethel come over for dinner or something. Okay, sure. It can probably pile up to 20 just on Ethel alone. Am I right? No, I'm kidding. No.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Okay, but is she talking dishes like also utensils? Because that could add up.
Yeah. So 20 dishes a meal plus 3 meals a day. Sir, 3 meals a day. Is he not at the club
for dinner? I wondered about that. I was like, okay. He doesn't eat every meal. Well, because he comes home for lunch sometimes. So,
yeah. Well, I get breakfast, and I've seen him the breakfast that they, you know, they presumably make. It's like a plate of, you know, eggs or something. It's not 20 dishes, but 20 dishes a meal, 3 meals a day, 300
over exaggerating
365 days a year plus 10 years at that point. That equals 219,000 dishes. Kind of loses her voice there, but yeah, so that's a whole lot of dishwashing. Now, if you don't realize, I mean, if we, you know, pay attention, we do spend a lot of time, you know, reusing washing dishes, even if it's not 20. You know, I don't have kids,
wash the same dishes over and over again.
Yeah, I feel like didn't I just do this morning? You swear there's like 10 people living here and it's only two.
Crazy how quickly it all piles up.
And so, of course, they talk about how they want a dishwasher. And so they're going to, you know, go demand it of their husbands and revolt.
Which, when does that ever work?
To demand a dishwasher?
They're revolting. Yeah. Oh, revolting. What are they going to, the demanding of their husbands, it never works.
Yeah, so they walk in and Fred and Ricky are relaxing on the couch or playing cards. I think they're playing cards.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean,
probably wondering what's taking the women so long.
He is incredibly dapper to be sitting there. He's like in this silk robe. Where are you going? He's just very, very fancy for
a night
that.
In.
Yeah,
that yeah. jacket, man.
It's very, very nice.
It's like a smoking jacket, I think.
I love that they walk in and say, "We're revolting,"
and no more than usual.
There's a lot of great one-liners in here, by the way, that I just, that's one of them. So they tell them that they want a dishwasher. Now, here's where you and I differ on dishwashers. The house that we lived in previous to this had a dishwasher, and it was an older one from whoever lived there before. We replaced it. I didn't use it once. Here's what goes through my mind, and I'm sure it's not this way, so don't come at me. This is just my old weird thing, is I imagine it's washing in there. Just like when we take a bath, we're, hanging out in our own filth. I imagine that a dishwasher is the dishes hanging out in their own filth with all the food.
Wait, you don't clean off your dishes? You don't rinse them off before you put them in the dishwasher?
I don't put dishes in the dishwasher. So I like to feel every nook and cranny being cleaned by my gloved hand. That way I know gloves, because I have allergies. Anyway, so I know that it's clean. I feel, sometimes you have a fork. This is, wait, TMI, a fork with food on it. And so you want to make sure you get every nook and cranny, make sure that you don't put leftover food back in the drawer. So if your hand does it on its own, and clean up every inch of it, it's clean. So dishwashers for me are really a nice thing to look at, but I don't use them. Because I feel like it makes me lazy. I like to just clean them.
I mean, I guess my husband and I we load our dishwasher much different than some people do. I know people that will just put their dishes right in, let them sit, and then press go. And I'm like, oh.
So you're supposed to
completely rinse them off.
See, but now
we make sure that all the food is off of it.
Here's where I question. If you're already taking the time to rinse them out enough to go into the machine, why not just finish the job with soap? Do you see?
And then they have to dry up in the rack, where if I put them in the dishwasher, then
you have to hand dry them.
Yes, exactly. I don't want to hand dry them.
Well, listen, let them air dry. No.
We don't have a big enough.
If you have little children, I totally am on board with that. But
I think I do.
That's probably, I think you do. You think you do.
Anyway, I think I do.
Dishwasher. They want a dishwasher. They want a modern convenience instead of a dishwasher. And so Ricky suggests that she is really asking for rubber gloves because modern women are spoiled.
They have it so easy. A push of a button.
Yes. All you do is flip a swish.
Flip a swish, yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm like, what are the men doing? How dare they?
They're making
definitely
money.
At that time, say that they're like so much, like the women just do nothing, and I don't know. Anyways, the women are like, you know what? You wouldn't do any better.
Yeah.
You would struggle just as much as us. And let's make a bet. And I love this. When Lucy goes, what do you want to bet? And Fred goes, how about 10?
This is the best.
Ethel goes, what's the matter with 20? Ricky says, well, what's the matter with 30? And of course, Lucy then bumps it up. She's like, what's the matter with 50? And Fred from his chair, looks around and he's like, what was the matter with 10?
This is where that brilliant screenwriting comes in, because it's a great delivered joke. It just fits his personality so well. And only he could get away with delivering it the way he did.
Oh, yeah. And another line that we missed that I wrote down because I just loved it was when Lucy says how many dishes she's washed. And then she goes, Ethel says, and just think how many more. And Lucy says, yeah, it would be in the millions.
And we skipped the part where they talk about how their grandmothers used to churn their own butter, bake their own bread, grind their own coffee. Where are all those women now? Dead. And so, so they talk about the bet. They're fine. We'll go along with it. Nothing before the 1900s. And of course, the joke always comes with, Fred, it makes sense if you ask Fred, because he's an older guy, but he says,
ask Ethel,
she's older. And so they're all excited. Fine, let's see if we can live without modern conveniences before the 1900s. And then Lucy says, woohoo, 23 skidoo, which is an American slang phrase popularized during the early 20th century. It generally refers to leaving quickly, being forced to leave quickly by someone else, or taking advantage of a preposterous opportunity to leave. So it's really leaving is what 23 Skidoo means. So I'm going to use that from now on because I like to leave fast from like social events. Yeah, I'm just going to look at my husband across the room and go, 23 Skidoo.
All I was going to say was that they bet $50, which is $588 today. So take the bet.
Take the bet. Yeah.
Unless you're going to lose it. Because how are the women going to pay back that?
They're going to ask the husbands for the money so they can pay them back.
Yeah. So the next shot, already you've got this major plot hole because they're not dressed like the 1900s. Now they do later, but I was like, if you're going all in.
Well, I assumed it was just not using modern, nothing to do with the wardrobe, but just not using modern conveniences, transportation, things like that. I didn't assume that it was like, we're going to turn the house into the 1900s, but yeah.
But I love how he changes his mind so quickly when it involves his food.
Oh, of course. So he like, comes into the kitchen with, like a tape or what do you call that? Kind of a gauze or something.
Gauze.
Like, he cut his face from shaving. And I forget what she used. What did she leave out for him to use instead of a razor?
It's like a long blade. It's one of those ones that like flip out. And it's a shaving blade, but it's quite long.
Oof.
And So if you don't know, I know that it's kind of an art to use those now. And so if you don't know how to use them,
they use them like in barbershops, right?
Mm-hmm.
Barbershops. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So then she, and then she
not being able to use that electric razor there.
Right. Right. Because electricity, of course. And so she wants to make him breakfast and she starts, crumpling up newspaper and has little pieces of wood and she's throwing them in the oven and Ethel and Ricky are staring at her like, what is she about to do? I mean, so she, lights a match and they're both like, no, stop. Because she's going to blow the place up. And she throws it in there. So she says, listen, I have to do this because this is how they made breakfast in the 1900s. So this kind of a trade-off.
There's a trade-off for sure. Not even because, I guess it makes it easier for her to cook, but it was just because Ricky wanted to eat.
Right.
really. And then a little of some fun facts. So in this first scene before Ricky walks in with the gauze or I think they used to stick toilet paper.
Really?
They would pull off or tissue and they'd stick it because the blood would like hold it onto their face. It's kind of weird. Anyways, before you get that, you get to see this like shot of their kitchen. You can tell that they kind of like, she must have gone to an antique store. Would it have been an antique store back then? Yeah.
Oh, good point. No, but
50 years? I don't know. She went to a thrift store maybe. But you see the oil lamps, which nowadays, that I looked this up to see how you get expensive, about $50, give or take, for I was finding like sets of two nice oil lamps.
Yeah.
Coffee grinder. Now you can get a off-brand hand grinder that looks like that for quite cheap. But if you go with like the original antique, I love how there's an ivy. It's got the ivy on that too. I think they've like made a painted it. Anyways, that you can find for about $85.
Yeah, I don't want to buy one of those. I'm okay.
I like them. I've always kind of wanted one of them.
Because she's then, really struggling.
Yeah, you have to really grind it.
Grind the coffee. Mm-hmm. And she
didn't put an egg in.
Yeah. Wait, now, call me crazy, but is that just to make a joke? Okay, it's not a thing.
No.
Okay.
Some people do.
I don't know.
Guess or grandpa, someone in her family used to get boiling hot coffee and then he would crack an egg on top of the coffee, let it cook just enough and then drink it down.
Why?
So that he's got breakfast in a cup.
Because it's all going to go to the same place anyway.
Just
grind some potatoes, some eggs, some coffee.
I mean, how is it any different from those people that like drink the eggs? Anyways,
Mr. Stallone.
Have you seen those? Anyways.
Oh, yes, I have. It's like people who do, work out a lot. Kind of
The
bodybuilders.
The bathtub, which I told my husband when we're, financially stable enough, to like purchase things that we don't need, an extra large standalone bathroom is what I want.
I've never been inside one of those, like a tub like that. I've seen them and they do look beautiful. But yeah, where did they get the standalone bathtub, by the way?
So this one was a tin one. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like a, fancy. You could tell that it was a thinner one. It wasn't like one of those thick, the nice thick ones.
Yeah, like a porcelain.
But even still, yeah. If you look for a bathtub like that, standalone, you can find a tin bathtub. This is for an infant for $250.
Yeah, she's, you know, making the coffee and she adds an egg. He gets grossed out because it is gross. And then her explanation is the reason she does that is because her grandmother is Swedish, which, you know, it's a little insight into her background, or maybe it's just a joke.
It's
who knows?
First time.
Yeah.
That we get a little bit of background into her history, her family history.
So Fred walks in and demands butter because they're out of butter, which is a crisis in and of itself.
Of course.
You know, so she's like, okay, I'll go to the store. Ethel says, I'm going to go to the store, buy some butter. And Lucy's like, okay, bring me some bread while you're at it. And of course they pump the brakes on that and said, you guys have to churn and bake.
Okay. But did they not have stores back in the 1900s?
I'm sure they did. I'm sure somebody churned
Someone made it. And someone then packaged it and made a
business of it. And
so why can't
housewives all over the place came to the local butter lady.
Yeah, exactly. They would have like the people that did the one thing. They made the one thing.
Dairy farms.
And there you go. Hey. Right?
Dairy. Okay.
We're thinking this through. Yeah, anyways,
we're really thinking this way too.
We're struggling tonight.
So she's like, what? You want me to, you know, churn butter? You want me to bake the bread? And, you know, then that's the open opportunity for a lot of physical comedy on Lucy's part.
Which we'll talk about once we get to the bake, because they don't start. Baking it right away.
No.
And then Ethel
comes in saying that she's been churning for 2 hours and has made nothing. That's probably how I would cook, by the way. Yeah, because she used milk instead of cream, right?
Mm-hmm. Also, I do want to ask, the stuff that they used to bake and like cook with, like the cream and anything for the bread, did they use the fridge? Because the fridge is a 1951 Westinghouse frost-free refrigerator.
Westinghouse, who of course then became a huge sponsor of the I Love Lucy and Daisy Little Playhouse. Mm-hmm.
It appears on several episodes of this season, promoted widely on TV. They also have a Westinghouse vacuum cleaner, which is the handy dandy. Vacuum cleaner. But it would be about 6 years before Desilu partnered with Westinghouse.
Mm-hmm. So then Ethel's talking about...
If they're using that, then do they fail?
They do. Hmm. Interesting.
But yes, so, Ethel says she can't move her hands, right?
Because we're doing it for 2 hours. And she says, our grandmothers must have had arms like Gorgeous George. Gorgeous George being George Raymond Wagner. He was debuted as the new glamour boy image in 1941 in Eugene, Oregon. He was a wrestler.
I've seen a photo of him.
Yeah. Yeah. And so
he's
that's
not really glamour boy.
That's
he almost has like a dad bod in my opinion, which isn't bad, but like.
Listen, bodies were different in those days. I mean, just what was accepted.
Like I said, it's not at all bad. Yeah. But. He definitely had that curly hair.
She's reading the recipe for this bread that Lucy's working on because it's huge and she's struggling with it because she's kneading it like it was, oh my gosh, it's a workout in and of itself. And she says that she used 13 cakes of yeast, which because there was something on the paper, it was only supposed to be 3. So that's what made it all.
Like it's yeast. Small, I'm sure it won't be a problem. Anything.
Yeah.
So obviously it does, and that's where we'll see. But they decide to let it sit because when you make bread, you have to knead it, let it rise, knead it, let it rise a few times before it's ready to be cooked, baked. So they decide they're gonna let it sit, cover it, and then they'll be back after they make some more butter. So they go to make butter and they come back and it's grown in size. Now, we watched this episode multiple times, watched it each time. Mm-hmm. And Colin was there for each one. And he was like, it wouldn't have gotten bigger. It wouldn't have gotten heavier. Mm-hmm. That's not how that works. after the second time he said that, I was like, all right, I'm going to tell people now. You've gone into the podcast. Listen, he mentions how it doesn't get heavier.
In this particular episode, you have to suspend a lot. Oh, yeah. Because, especially with the bread, you know?
Throwing more dough into it.
Yeah.
Into that container or that, you know, their bowl. But the funny fact is that it's now grown outside of that bowl.
Huge. And they both have to carry it because it's so big.
Yeah,
and
they have to get another bowl for it.
What's funny is that Ethel says, you know, she got this much butter and I'm, you know, small amount of butter, yes, after 2 hours of churning.
2 hours
and it cost her
$75.
Yeah. And with inflation, she spent $259.16 on this little bit of butter, which, by the way, we already lost the value of the bet light years ago. I mean,
right? Because they had to buy all the stuff, right? They had to buy the tub. They had to buy the
grinder. Haven't even gotten to all the expenses that went into this ridiculous bet. So they get a telegram because why not just call? But okay, they get a telegram that the Women's Matron League is meeting at the Waldorf. Woo! You know what that goes to show? I've never been there. Now, to be scrutinized, by the way, if you got a letter that says, come here so I can scrutinize you, I'm not going to go because I can get scrutinized through this episode alone on a global scale.
Yeah. It was a really nice, they were really nice Manhattan hotels. Yeah, we actually get to see these hotels or the inside of one 6 weeks later. When she pretends to be the Maharaja of Franistan, which is one of my favorite episodes.
So good.
I love that episode so much. So, and then again, we see that when she goes to see Cynthia Harcourt.
Harcourt.
And mm-hmm. Lucy is envious. So
right.
We get to see that in a little bit. Telegram, did you read the actual telegram?
I did.
Basically just, yeah. You did?
Yeah. No, go ahead. No, tell it to the people.
Did you read
please.
It out loud?
No, I did not. All I said was they were meeting at the Waldorf.
And we can post a photo of this because it's like, it's, you know, it's a prop. It says we're invited to tea Friday afternoon at the Waldorf to be scrutinized before your final acceptance to the Society Matron League.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Come in your best attire.
And so they wanted to be society matrons, which, by the way, why would you want to join a club like this? I mean, just on a side note, it's really, you got to be really bored to want to join these gals on a.
Do they have clubs like this anymore?
I don't know. I hope not.
I keep talking to my husband. I was like, I want to make more friends.
So then, of course, after that, they come back and they say the famous scene that we have is, how did this oven door get open? And we know how this oven door got open because
flies out
huge, huge loaf of bread, which again, you have to not, you just use your imagination really and suspend anything of reality because it's a massive, massive bread out of this oven that just keeps going.
You want to know what my thought was that every time I see it, I went, she put in a small pan and this ginormous pan comes out. So the pan's also growing with bread, apparently.
She put yeast on the pans.
Yeah. Guys, this was an actual loaf of bread.
Yeah.
I did not know that. I thought it was just a prop, but apparently the cost of constructing the prop to be a loaf of bread was just too high. And so Desi enlisted LA's Union Baking Company. When they baked a real loaf of bread, it was rye because it lasted longer without spoiling. And at the end of the show, people went home, like people in the
audience, chair,
the audience, cast members, things like that. They all got bread. That's really cool.
That bread. That's really neat that they did that because then, at least it didn't go to waste. And, you know, it wasn't a prop that they created for it. So, you know, they're. Ethel's got this saw all of a sudden and she's trying to saw bread and probably almost got her leg with it. And that's again, one of the famous scenes when you think of I Love Lucy. You got,
earlier,
Chocolate Factory. You got the Vita Vita Benjamin and grape stomping, and you got the loaf of bread. So it's hilarious. This is where her physical comedy just explodes on things like this.
Oh yeah,
I love it.
Oh yeah. Okay, after they put in the bread, before the doors open,
yeah,
and they put in the bread, they're asking like, what are we gonna do with our time? And Lucy suggests that they play a game called Canasta. Now, this card game wasn't invented until the 1940s, so they lost the bet. But the men also lose the bet. If we'll talk about that later, but there are other things that they lose. So the women, after, you know, they get the telegram, they're
nervous, you know, about
they
them
have
coming.
The bread, and they're worried about them coming. They're like, we need to win this bet before Friday.
Yeah,
because we can't go like this,
looking all,
you know, in their clothes, and is that when they decide to, I think that's when they decide to put out the clothes.
Oh yes.
And so they take it another step.
So they're saying that they want to get their hair done, want to get new clothes for this meeting, but they can't do that without losing the bet. So they think that if they tell the boys to dress up like they did in the 1900s, they would refuse. You lose the bet and they can go get dressed up for this meeting. Nothing like that happens.
No. Lucy also says that she didn't mention anything about transportation.
That's true.
And if he comes in on a bus, taxi, plane, whatever else, that they would lose the bet. But of course he comes in on a horse.
See,
I love how
already there's an expense that's so unnecessary to win this bet. He came up on a horse.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. So they're already dressed up in these 1900 clothes. The women are.
Yes.
And he comes up in a horse. And so what I was saying was, the expenses are already piling up. The bet was,
where did he get a horse?
Gone.
They could have just bought. At this point, they could have just bought them a dishwasher.
You know what? Two dishwashers, because it's ridiculous. But yeah, so he comes up from the club on a horse with his conga drum next to him, which I love. And so they're like, oh no, he's smarter than we are.
So then the next shot we see is of Desi taking a bath. You get to see his Christopher medal again in the scene where she's pouring scalding water onto his back. I think it's supposed to be that it's in the water, but still, I was like, that could really.
She just took it right off
the oven and put it right into his bath.
So what I love is that, you know, they have their clothes laid out, or she has the clothes laid out for him, because she's thinking, this is it. This is going to do it. I'm going to put up these old clothes. He's going to protest because he has an image to uphold.
Well, he did at first.
Yeah. And then it's over.
He came up with the scheme of.
We'll make it part of the act.
Making it a part of the act. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And wearing it as promotion for the show. So he's excited to wear these old clothes, which I like. They look fine.
They look nice. And Fred, of course, is very excited.
He probably just went to his closet. Just grab what was there.
Ethel comes in and she's, you know, you can tell that she is annoyed that he likes this. Mm-hmm. But again, so we see that he comes in and when he comes in the room, he's got this pin. It says chicken inspector. He says, I'm the chicken inspector. This is slang for a womanizer. So,
chicken inspector.
Says they have an eye for young women. And he has that badge on. The expression wasn't coined until 1920s, though.
Already had, he would have lost.
Yeah. And when the women come in, so the women are, they're going to get a doorbell or someone's going to knock. The women from the Matron League Society come in. And when they do, guess what's on in
what's
the background?
On?
A lamp. They all lost.
Oh, yes. The electricity.
There's a lamp on. Yeah. Come on, guys. Okay, so the women come in. We need to talk about these women.
Mm-hmm. Now,
I was thinking we should actually
hold on. You forgot the part where they start, you know, Fred likes this a lot, and they start singing. What's the name of the song?
Going to the park one day. The fountain in the park.
I was taken by surprise. Yeah. And so they both start singing because they like it a lot. And of course, the other joke that you skipped over was that Fred says to Ethel, "Why are you wearing that bustle for, honey?
Oh,
you
don't need it."
And Lucy's like, "Pay no attention to him. You leave it on, Ethel. I'm not wearing a bustle." Which reminds me of like when they go to the charm school and she's like, you know, "Why are you wearing that very weird color powder?" "I'm not wearing powder." It's her skin. So that was funny. So now the old ladies come in.
Okay. The old women come in. They're not actually that old. And this is Miss Pomerantz.
Mm-hmm.
She was played by Ruth Parrott. She played Katie, the maid, in My Favorite Husband.
Yes.
Yep. She returned to I Love Lucy to play the nurse when Lucy goes to the hospital. And she's seen again when Lucy and Ethel buy the same dress, season 3, episode 3. So she comes in and out, but she's got a pretty extensive background. But I didn't want to get into it too much. Like, I pulled it up. I have it all the information. But I was like, she should have her own episode, I think.
Yeah. Because
Katie the Maid is pretty awesome. And then we can put some clips in of her.
Not only that, but the one, Florence Bates, who plays Mrs. Pettibone, I want to say.
She's got such a cool life, too.
Oh, wow. I mean, actress was last on the list of things that she did. It was great, but just a little tiny synopsis. She was the daughter of an antique store owner, and she has a degree in mathematics from the University of Texas. Oh my gosh. And then she went into teaching, social work, studied law.
First attorney in the history of the state of Texas. I mean,
and then she's like, "Never mind, I'll just audition."
Well, she was going to open a store.
Mm-hmm.
And she saw this Playhouse production of Jane Austen. So she was like, "Why not? Let's do it.
That's great. Yeah.
And that is when and we won't do any more just in case we want to do one on her as well.
Yeah. So those are the two women that come in. She's got like the very, you know, pretentious
eyeglasses. Yeah.
And she's judging the home. She's judging the clothes. And so, you know, she's Lucy's panicking because she's like, "Oh my God, what are we going to do? They're not going to let us in." And she's like, "You want to call off the bet?" "No, we don't. I mean, just still sticking to us." And then, you know, Ricky comes with the idea of just tell them we're doing a show. And they caught us in the middle of audition.
Which he thinks is going to be helpful.
Yeah, it makes it worse.
Ends up not being helpful. So women are like, "Why? You perform, why?"
She says, "You put on shows? Yes. Why?" She says, then, "Do you do this for a living?" "No, we just developed the bad habit of wanting to eat."
And I love how Ruth pulls aside Florence or Mrs. Pettibone. Pomerantz pulls aside. They put the same names. They're not the same, but they sound the same. Mrs. Pomerantz pulls aside Mrs. Pettibone. And
That's a great name, though. Very petty.
She goes, "You know, we've been allowing actors or performers in." And they go, "Oh, yes, ever since the shortage 2 years ago."
And they needed money.
They needed money. They're obviously being very snooty, and this is when
she just has a change of character. You know, that's enough.
I'm done.
That's enough.
Which I can see. You know, it's like, all right, you've come into our home now.
You scrutinize it.
Yeah,
you've insulted us.
This is weird, but to be fair, right? We're being weird, but you've insulted what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. What's wrong with show people?
My husband and what he does for a living, and so they.
So we're done. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she insults her and says something about them. Calling her the blue-blooded sisters. Yes,
the Mertzes and the Ricardos have looked over your application. We'll post the actual thing because we're not doing it justice. But
it's really good. But I mean, we've all seen this episode where she you know, essentially.
You gotta stop saying that. You don't know. Maybe we have a person who's just become a fan and they haven't seen the episode. And now they feel awful because they're like, "Oh,
wow,
I should have seen this."
And now they're going to therapy. It's just downhill from my
ruined it. that comment, man.
I apologize. So yes, at the end, they no longer want any part of it. They, you know, escort them to the door and everyone's like, yeah, Lucy, woo! And they hug her. And, you know, she says, I couldn't take it anymore. It's not about the bet. It's not about anything. It's just when someone comes into your home and starts literally insulting you, that's where you draw the line. And so she's like, let me go, you know, make you something to eat or get you something to eat. Ricky does. And she's like, no, we have
homemade bread and home churned butter.
Yeah, I forgot how it went, but yeah.
And so also
dig in.
The women win the bet. So I was wondering, do they each get $25 or does Ricky pay? Because Ricky said he'd pay. So is he paying them both $50 or is Fred paying? Because it's hard to believe that Fred would pay $50.
I'm guessing it's a 25 split thing.
25 split. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's probably.
That's a lot of effort for $25.
And like we said, for just the butter almost alone.
200 and,
budgets out almost.
What did I say it was? 200
well,
and
200 and something, but it like 250 something.
259, yeah.
$23.75. It's gone. Like,
and all because they wanted a dishwasher, Ziva. The women just wanted a dishwasher.
I would go through that to get a dishwasher.
Okay, then forget everything I said.
It was a blast. We sat around the dishwasher and
I would walk into your house judging you and go, oh, what is this?
You have a dishwasher.
I don't know why I became British, right. But anyway, so thank you guys for listening to this recap. Obviously it was fun because it's silly. The silly ones always, you know, make it much more fun than a more dramatic one. But I hope you guys enjoyed it and find us everywhere. havingaballpod@gmail.com. Send us emails. We get really awesome emails.
We love the emails. We send them back. We send you guys. We respond.
Yeah.
It took me like 3 times to say that.
Someone called Ziva a celebrity. That was really cool.
I know. I was like, am I? Hair flip.
Ziva featuring Erica now.
Yes. I mean, you move to bottom. It's, you know, starring.
You do that
Ziva
thing,
Des. Maples co-starring.
You do that thing with that Erica. That with Erica, guest star Erica. So it shows, you know, what Desi, he would do the vice president of Desi Lou Production. I am the president.
That? Should I record one of those?
We should not.
No, fun.
Just Lucy fans, since you said not everybody knows everything, that was a callback to my favorite husband.
My favorite husband. I didn't even mention that. Oh my. Okay. Well.
Or even having a ball pod on Instagram, having a ball podcast on Facebook, having a ball podcast on YouTube, where you can find one episode in Spanish that I just put up on Desi.
Yeah, let us know how you guys like that.
Yeah,
it seems to be that people already have quite enjoyed it. So she can do some more. I will not be participating in any of those. Because
so if anybody needs anything in Portuguese, please let us know. Ziva will be doing that one. Thank you.
No, I will not. I can do German.
Gosh. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.